Chapter 1. I wrote down on my notes what date it is today, because a year from now you'll be saying, when did we start this? And I don't intend to accomplish it in a certain length of time. That's the freedom that we have as we consistently meet together. Is to just take our time and study it as we need to and take as much time as we need to. There was a time in which we taught the book of Revelation this way, and then when it came to a Sunday morning session, I realized, well, you can't just dig into every verse. Sunday mornings we'd be in Revelation forever. So during that time, I actually made it a goal to never spend more than 3 weeks in one chapter of the book of Revelation. That was pretty hard to keep, but we did it. But don't get any idea that I'm trying that here. And I'm not trying to go long either. Sometimes, things can be prolonged just because you get off track and things like that. Hopefully I'll stay on track. But the Bible is so precise and each word so precisely put there by the Spirit of God that the most closest scrutiny it can stand up to, and the closest scrutiny can actually bring to light many more truths. So there is a time we've studied the Bible, by the way, through Grace Bible Church. We've gone through Genesis to Revelation, surveying the book twice now, surveying every book of the Bible. We went through it, and I think even like another goal was to spend only 3 weeks in Sunday school classes, so that's only an hour and a half in each book. But anyhow, looking and surveying each book, because it is valuable just to get an overview of the book. In fact, in our study of the book of Acts, you would be valued quite a bit if you would just take the time to make sure you're reading ahead, and would be beneficial for you to read the whole book and maybe do it more than once as we're going through the book itself. We'll look at it and we'll look at the details. But even in the introduction of the book, we're going to look at an overview today, because not that we have to analyze everything by a firsthand knowledge of everything that it teaches, but as an introduction to the book, there are some things that are going to be said in the introduction that will go past you if you didn't know some of the very basic things about the book itself. So we'll let the book introduce itself as we start in the book of Acts. Verses 1 and 2 is an introduction to the book, and does set forth our introduction for probably this lesson and the next time we meet as well. It says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." Now, this is definitely going to set up the book. There's some things that we want to look at today basically about the book and about the author, and then eventually we'll work toward the theme of the book and then work our way continuing to study chapter 1. But just starting out, you might notice the heading above is called the Acts of the Apostles. We just abbreviate that and say we're going to study the book of Acts. And I got thinking about that, because did you ever notice that every book of the New Testament, it bears the name of the person who wrote the book, or the person who's going to receive the book, or the city that's going to receive the book, except for two books. One, the book of Acts, and the other, the book of Revelation. And I didn't stop and think about that until I just started thinking about the title of the book of Acts and why it's called that. But then I realized something else. Do you realize, and I put the chart up here, it's really helpful for us when we talk about the importance of rightly dividing the word of truth. Your Bible's laid out on this time chart. The day in which we live here is the dispensation of God's grace, and as we study, you'll realize that the dispensation of God's grace is not a revelation of truth that's found in Bible prophecy. You don't even know about this age until you come to the Apostle Paul, and that's what you find in his writings. But for now, I just noticed that when you study God's ministry to the nation of Israel, Jesus Christ came to the nation of Israel to fulfill the promises made unto the fathers. And when you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are all the writers' names. And then when you after Paul's epistles, you go to the book of Hebrews, and it's written to the Hebrew people. But Hebrews, after that, you're back to James and Peter and John until you come to that book of Revelation. So the when you're reading the books of written to the nation of Israel, most of the books bear the name of the writer. And then, but when it comes to Paul's epistles, Romans to Philemon, you have either the cities, the churches, the assemblies of God's people in the cities, whether it be Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, and so forth, or when you get to books like Timothy, Titus, Philemon, they're written to certain people, and so they bear the name of the people. And it's just interesting that the Israel's epistles are named after the person who writes it. Paul's epistles are written to named after the people that it's written to. But again, the exception to the two is the book of Acts and the book of Revelation. Look, just flip over to Revelation 1, and you'll see where it gets its name. Revelation 1:1, the very first verse says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass." So the book of Revelation gets its name from the introduction of the book, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's not revelations plural, it's revelation singular. And this is the revelation of Christ coming to the earth to take possession of the earth and to rule and reign over it for 1,000 years before he creates a new heaven and new earth. But that's the book of Revelation. Now, with that same thought in mind, go back to the book of Acts. And at first glance, you might not see it, but the Acts gets its name from the first two verses. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he hath chosen." Now, you didn't see anything in Acts there. But if you notice the heading of your book, it's called The Acts of the Apostles. And you see the information about the apostles, that what the book of Acts is going to do is pick up the ministry of the 12 apostles, actually the ministry of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit in his apostles. And so as the apostles go out, you have the acts or the actions of the apostles, which is descriptive of the book, and that's where it gets its name. Also, you can see about how it gets its name. Look at verse 2 again. Well, actually, it starts out, "the former treatise," and we'll talk about that a little bit probably next time, but the writer says, "the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus." So there was a former writing that went to Theophilus, but former, that's the idea there. And then in verse 2 it says, "until the day." So there's this time past that brought you up to the day in which the Lord Jesus was taken up. That's his ascension back into heaven. Then you get in the middle of verse 2, it says, "after that." So you got, in like even in verse 1, that former treatise is all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So you got what Jesus Christ began to do until he was taken up, and then after that. And it's the after that section that the book of Acts is going to pick up with. It's going to be the continued ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you get that as you read that. If the first verse says, "of all that Jesus began to do and to teach." If I begin to do something, did I finish doing it? No. So you realize the ministry of Jesus Christ isn't over, which immediately should be a warning. You know, when you finish Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're done with the red letter edition of the Bible, so to speak. And, you know, you don't have any more words in red unless someone later on quotes the words of the Lord. And a lot of times people get the impression that what Jesus Christ said during his earthly ministry, that's more important than everything else. But if you understand even the very introduction to the book of Acts, that was only the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. That's what he began both to do and to teach. So Jesus Christ is going to do more things yet and teach more things yet. So it's the things that are found, the former treatise is the book of Luke, but the point is that covers what Jesus began to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. So that's his ascension back into heaven. After that, Notice he, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Ghost. Some people have referred to the book of Acts as the book of the Holy Spirit, because where Jesus Christ had his earthly ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so now the ministry of the Holy Spirit's going to begin. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit is the continued ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, because he's ascended back into heaven, he's poured out the Holy Spirit, and now he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he hath chosen. And so the ministry, the continued ministry of Jesus Christ is going to go on through the Holy Spirit and by the apostles whom he had chosen. And that's where you get the idea, the Acts of the Apostles. And when we say the Acts of the Apostles, don't ever separate that from the continued ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, now through his Spirit in the actions of the apostles. And the actions are commanded by the Lord. That's why it says, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he hath chosen. And so the Lord Jesus Christ has got further commandments, and that those commandments are going to be carried out now by the apostles. And when it says that, that last part of that verse 2, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he hath chosen, it's extremely important for you to realize that the use of that term apostle in Christendom today is very loosely used. The very meaning of an apostle, as you'll see, is one sent forth by the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he had these disciples. And then he called out of those hundreds of disciples, maybe, I don't know how many there were, but out of those disciples that he had, he called 12 to be apostles. Then, like in Matthew 10, when he does that, you'll see it here in Acts chapter 1, so we don't have to look back. When he does that, he'll actually name them by name. So when it says, gave commandments unto the apostles whom he hath chosen, that is, you can find in the Bible the name of those apostles. No one else exists that's not an apostle who's sent directly by Jesus Christ. What I mean by that is no one else is an apostle except the ones that are mentioned in the Bible as those that he had chosen. And I say that because, you know, depending on what church you go to, you might have the minister get up and he might be Apostle Jones or somebody else like that. And they'll use that name as a title and actually carry it on as if there could be an apostle today. And the only way that you know who is an apostle that Jesus Christ chose is you've got a Bible that says, now here's their names. These are the ones. And so when you see it here, he gave commandments unto the apostles whom he hath chosen. That means then anybody else other than the ones he chose and named, they call themselves apostles. You might as well forget that. The book of Acts already excluded them. They don't continue on a ministry. These men continued on a ministry. So we're going to study the Acts of the Apostles. So that tells you that the actions of the apostles that you're going to see recorded in the book of Acts are extremely important for you to pay attention to. Because this is going to be the commandments of Christ, the ministry of Jesus Christ from heaven through his Holy Spirit, still carried on while those apostles are alive. And so as you go through there, the references to apostles are going to be important. So that just made me stop and say, well, how many times does the book of Acts refer to the apostles? Well, 30 times as you go through this book. Interestingly, one of the things that I already know from studying the book of Acts, and perhaps you do too, is that when you start out with the names of the apostles that are listed even here over in chapter 1, verse 13, the 12 apostles that are here, and they eventually add Matthias to the group. But among those that are listed there, by the time you come to Acts chapter 9, there's a man who was persecuting anyone who would believe in Jesus Christ in the early Acts period. His name was Saul of Tarsus. And Jesus Christ, from heaven, called Saul of Tarsus and made him Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. So when I'm reading this and I'm thinking that it says that he through the apostles had given commandments unto the apostles, no, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, it sounds like the book of Acts centers around the ministry of the 12 apostles, had chosen. because there's one yet to come. Now, there's two ways of looking at that, and it's not really that important. I'm just telling you how when I'm looking at a verse, I'm looking at that thinking, had, that's past tense. Because he ascends into heaven, and then later on, it's Acts chapter 9, that from heaven he calls Paul to be an apostle. So these 12 apostles, they're the ones that we're going to watch the closest. And there's, like I say, two ways to look at that. See, when Luke wrote, and eventually I'll show you Luke wrote the book of Acts, but when Luke wrote this book, did he write it starting in chapter 1? Or did he write it sometimes after chapter 28? That, by the way, there's 28 chapters. Well, if you understand, these writers, they didn't just take notes and say, okay, now he's doing it, now this is happening. They wrote after the fact. Everything's over, and then they sit down and they write down a record of some things that already transpired. So that when Luke is writing the introduction to this book, Paul's already been called to be an apostle. So you could refer to it as the apostles that he had chosen, because Luke is writing this, you know, after he's already been through all these experiences. So that might include Paul, but if it doesn't, there's another way to look at that. It's an importance, just to, if this book is about the action of the apostles, then we need to just kind of quickly look at the movement of the apostles. So you got Acts chapter 1, where it's first verse 2 there, where it mentions the apostle. Look over in verse 26. We're not going to study these verses. We'll get to them eventually. And I'm not taking you all 30 references to the apostles, just some interesting things that we should follow. The ministry of Jesus Christ from heaven through the Holy Spirit as he's given commandments to the apostles. One of the things that they do at the end of Acts chapter 1 is, since Judas has now went out and hung himself, and there needs to be 12 apostles ministering to the 12 tribes of Israel, Peter stands up and he begins to say, you know, we got to replace Judas. And there's big arguments over that. We'll get to that when we cover it. But the verse 26 says, and they gave forth their lots, and the lots fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Well, now see, that's nobody saying that. Peter didn't say, oh, now Matthias is numbered with the 11. Who wrote verse 26? Luke was the human pen. Whose ministry, who's actually, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is God through the Holy Spirit in Luke penning the words that Matthias is numbered with the 11. So when we talk about 12 apostles here, there's 12. Matthias plus 11, that's 12. They got their number back. But anyhow, you start seeing the actions of the apostles, and their actions are the commandments of the Lord through the Holy Spirit. These aren't mistakes that are going on. But let's just jump way ahead of that. Go over to chapter 2 and look over in verse 42. We're skipping all the preaching that Peter's doing, but just notice these references. Acts 2:42 says, and they, and that's the people that responded in faith to what Peter had just said, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowshipping and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So these are, the book of Acts is the actions of the apostles. And these apostles that God had chosen, these people recognize that the doctrines they're teaching, these are their doctrines to follow. And that the apostles then manifest the signs that prove, that authenticate, that their words are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the apostles' doctrine and the actions of the apostles, their miracles, these people recognize these men as having that authority in continuing the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, where in Christ's absence as he's gone back to heaven. Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. It says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So that great power is manifesting itself in the witness of the apostles, proving the resurrection of Jesus Christ. that the same power Christ had on earth as he has ascended in heaven, he through the Holy Spirit is manifesting that power now in his apostles as they witness out and manifest his power in that witness. In chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Again, all the miraculous signs and wonders are being manifested in the apostles themselves. That's the ones that the Lord is speaking through. That's the ones he's giving the commandments to. They're the ones who are carrying out the earthly ministry of Christ, and it's manifested in their ministry as they go out and continue ministering. And as you'll study the book of Acts, they're ministering here to the nation of Israel. In fact, they go out to Samaria in Acts chapter 8. Because after Philip went out there and the Samaritans responded to faith in Christ, they were baptized like the earthly ministry of John the Baptist required, and Peter will require the Jews in Jerusalem in Acts 2. The Samaritans get baptized by Philip, but they don't get the Holy Ghost. Not until Peter and John show up there, and then it says in verse 18 of Acts 8, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Hey, give me that power, I'll buy it from you. And Peter lays a curse on him and warns him of being cursed for having such an attitude. But that reference is, Philip didn't do this. It took apostles to come from Jerusalem up to Samaria, and it was laying on of their hands that the Samaritans received the Holy Ghost. Showing that the authority centers in the 12 apostles in this ministry that's being carried on. The ministry of Jesus Christ, his authority, his teaching is being carried on by these 12 apostles. So you come over to Acts chapter 9. This is where the conversion of Saul takes place. And I guess I should just, depending on how much you're familiar with this, I'll start out in verse 1. It says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He didn't spare women. And Damascus, you realize, is the capital of Syria. So, but that we're getting way ahead of ourselves, so we don't want to study this, except that Saul, he is so adamant in stamping out the name of Christ that he don't even want it wiped out of the land of Israel. If they retreat to Syria, he's going after them and gets permission to do it. So verse 3 says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? So he's told to go on to the city, and then in that city, since we read this far, if you look over in verse 17, the man who's going to meet him in the city is this prophet by the name of Ananias. And it says in verse 17, Ananias, the Lord's got to convince him to go. He says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house. No, I don't want that verse. Oh, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he, referring to Saul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And you'd be very wise to notice there that there's some kind of change going on here in the book of Acts when you got the name Gentiles and then kings and then Israel last. Something's dramatically different here with the calling and commissioning of the Apostle Paul. In fact, something's radically different because Jesus Christ had 12 apostles, and the one who betrayed him is replaced out of him right in the very opening of the book of Acts. So he's got 12 apostles ministering to the 12 tribes of Israel, and all of a sudden this Saul of Tarsus is saved, and he, Acts chapter 13, he's going to become Paul the apostle to the Gentiles, or known as Paul. Here he's called to the Gentiles from the very beginning. But the reason I read those verses, if you look over in verse 26, his brother-in-law, Barnabas, when Saul finally goes to Jerusalem, it says in verse 26, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Yeah, naturally you think this is infiltration. This is a spy coming to get us. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Now that's significant. Because if these 12 apostles who are being led by the Spirit of God from Jesus Christ in heaven, receiving commandments, if they receive Saul, then it's going to be okay, right? The disciples, they don't want anything to do with them, so Barnabas takes them to the apostles. See, the Lord's working through his apostles here, and they receive Paul, not into their fellowship, but they receive the fact that indeed he has been converted, that he's not a spy that we have to run away from, and so Barnabas brings him to those apostles. Well, those apostles still have to deal with some issues. Now, in Acts chapter, see, this is chapter 9. Acts chapter 10, all of a sudden God tells Peter to go to a Gentile. And they can't. Peter has a hard time figuring out why he should go. Now, we'll study the book, as I said. My point is to you, watch the actions of the apostles, particularly these apostles, the 12 apostles, before the apostle Paul joins, or before the apostle Paul becomes an apostle to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 10, Peter went to this Cornelius because God revealed it, gave him a vision and a revelation to go. When you come to chapter 11 of Acts, verse 1, it says, "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God, and they're thrilled out of their mind." Well, watch the next verse. "And when Peter was come to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him." See, when they heard that the Gentiles received the word of God, they're saying, "Hey, Peter, what are you doing going to a Gentile?" So there's a contention going on here. So Peter, from this point on, explains, "Look, I only did what God told me to do. I don't understand. Jesus Christ from heaven through the Holy Spirit told me to take this action, and I did it." And so when you get over to verse 17, it says, "For as much then as God had given them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I should withstand God?" When they, that's Peter's last words, and it says, "When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance to life." Now here's the 12 apostles learning some things. They're under the authority, the commissioning, the guidance of God's Holy Spirit, and the commandments of Christ, and they're saying, okay, God is receiving Gentiles. That's all you know so far from this point. You come over to Acts chapter 15, but before I read 15, side note, look at chapter 13, verse 2. Now, Acts chapter 13 is where Paul now launches his ministry. In fact, it's in verse 9, it says, "Then Saul," Acts 13, 9, "who is called Paul." I'll get back to that in a little bit, but He's launching his ministry. Acts 13, verse 1, it names all the people at Antioch who are teachers there. And then verse 2 of Acts 13 says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Now, if we know from the book of Acts that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is actually the Lord's continued ministry from heaven, this is Jesus Christ sending Barnabas and Saul for a work that he's called them to do. If you're sent forth by Jesus Christ, what are you? You're an apostle. That's what the definition of apostle is. And the Holy Spirit's making clear that these people are commissioned, Barnabas and Saul are commissioned for a work that they're called to do. The work that's different than the 12 apostles' work, but you'll learn that as you just study on. But with that in mind, Acts chapter 14, verse 4. They're in Iconium, and it says, "And the multitude of the city was divided, and part of them, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles." Now, if you read the context, we're not talking the 12 apostles. These people in this city recognize Barnabas and Paul as apostles to them. That's why over in verse 14, It says, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying, and the people were going to worship them, and they stopped them. But there's the scriptures telling us which when the apostles, and now their names, Barnabas and Paul. So here's apostleship that's other than the 12. These men are out here. Now, I say that, I wanted to get to chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 2. The Apostle Paul, when he begins his ministry, and I'll show you in an outline next time, but he begins his ministry outside Jerusalem, north of Damascus, in Antioch, Syria. And it's from there that the Holy Spirit launches Paul's ministry out among the Gentiles. Iconium, he's out over in the area of Turkey, Asia Minor, as we call it. There's no ministry, he's not ministering in Jerusalem, he's ministering beyond, out among the Gentiles. That's what he's called to do. As he does that, apparently his message is different than what the 12 apostles' message is in Jerusalem. Because it says, I'll start in verse 1, Acts 15, verse 1, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now, Paul's out there getting these Gentiles saved, and these people came from Judea and said, I don't know what this Paul guy's telling you, but if you don't get circumcised, you can't be saved. Verse 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas, and notice that name has switched now. Barnabas is no longer first, it's now Paul always first. That Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. Well, that's where the authority is, right? Go ask the 12 apostles, what about this? So they go, and it says over in verse 6, it says, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. So the apostles and elders come together for to consider the matter, and as you study the matter, they come to the conclusion that what Paul is preaching out among the Gentiles is God's word to the Gentiles, and that they should not put anything else on the Gentiles other than what God has said to them and anything that might offend the Jews. And so they write a letter in chapter 15, verse 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren send greetings to the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. And then they start, you know, what they write this letter to say that what the Apostle Paul teaching you is indeed God's word to the Gentiles. That's the basis of it. Now, I said all of that just to take your attention that if the introduction to the book of Acts says that this is the continued ministry of Jesus Christ from heaven through his apostles, through the Holy Spirit, by giving commandments unto his apostles that he has chosen, the apostles that he even chose back before the calling and commissioning of the Apostle Paul, all those men, by the time you come to this place in the book of Acts, have told all Gentiles, you turn your eyes to Paul, he's your apostle. So that the continued ministry of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit giving commandments unto the apostles, those apostles command even the Gentiles to get your doctrine from Paul. He's your apostle. So as we're going to study the book of Acts, that becomes a real important doctrine in the book of Acts as it's laid out in the very instructions of the book of Acts as you just watch the actions of the apostles and the commandments that they come forward. Now, you know that Paul's an apostle himself as you just read on, but the 12 apostles tell you as a Gentile that Paul is indeed commanded of God to give the word of God of grace to the Gentiles. And so you follow those actions, you're going to go to Paul. Now that tells you just something out more basic. My first outline, I had to tear it up because I just got so deep into it, I wanted to stay more basic. See, we're actually in those introductory verses yet. If we're going to study in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, already you can see that there is this two groups. You have Peter as the leader of the 12 apostles, and we'll get more detail about how they ministered to the Jews, but that actually will take up Acts chapters 1 through 12. Now, Paul will pop in Acts chapter 9, then Peter pops back in chapters 10, and the 12 show up in chapter 11, and then chapter 12 brings Peter's message to a conclusion. He pops back in chapter 15 only to condone or to put his approval on Paul's ministry. But the Apostle Paul, going out with his companions, and he's got several different companions that will go with him, he goes out to the Gentiles. That's actually covered in detail in Acts chapter 13 through 28. So you got this two sets. You got Peter with the 12, chapters 1 through 12, interestingly. Didn't think of that before. And then you got Paul's ministry with his companions to the Gentiles, chapters 13 through 28. See, there's something's going to transpire in the book of Acts. A lot of people understand that the book of Acts is a book of transition, and we'll talk more about that. But the transition doesn't take place at the beginning of the book. As you can see here, the transition is in that middle point there where you go from Peter and the 12's ministry to the Jews to Paul and his companions' ministry to the Gentiles, all ordained of God and recognized by all the apostles. So that makes me look at the not just the apostles, but Peter and Paul. Peter's name is found in the book of Acts 57 times, starting in Acts chapter 1 and verse 13. The very last time, you're in still Acts 15, aren't you? I don't know if I said that right. Acts chapter 1, 13 is the first time his name is mentioned. It's mentioned 57 times. The last time his name is mentioned is Acts chapter 15, verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we, Jews, shall be saved even as they, Gentiles. Now, we've already looked at the context of chapter 15. The context of chapter 15 is the 12 apostles analyzing Paul's ministry and apostleship to the Gentiles. And the last word of Peter in the book of Acts is he's acknowledging, yes, Paul, God apparently turned to the Gentiles. He showed that to me when he made me go to a Gentile and I didn't want to do it. And he verified it, giving that Gentile the Holy Spirit like he did to us at the beginning. So let's not put any yoke. This is the grace of God going out to the Gentiles. That's the last words of Peter in the book of Acts. On the other hand, I've already read to you Acts chapter 13, verse 9. That's the first mention of Paul. Now, he's actually called Saul 26 times before that. But in Acts chapter 13, verse 9, when it mentions that Saul, who's also called Paul, that's the first mention of his name, and he's mentioned in the book of Acts 126 times by the name Paul. You think that's pretty significant when we talk about the Acts of the Apostles, Peter's leadership with the 12, and it ends at chapter 12, except for this one last confirmation of Paul's ministry. Paul's ministry is launched. It actually began before it, but it's launched in Acts chapter 13. And from that point on, 126 times his name is mentioned until you come to Acts chapter 28, and look at verse 30. And if you don't know, Paul's now all the way in Rome. By the way, when we study the book of Acts, we'll be using a lot of maps. But in Acts 28, verse 30, it says, And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. Now, he's under arrest, but rather than in a dungeon at this time, later on when he writes Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians, he's in a dungeon. But right now, he's just under house arrest there with a guard. And in Rome, it says, And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ, and with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So the book of Acts ends with the continued ministry of the Apostle Paul. 12 apostles kind of went off the scene way back there at chapter 12. And the reason I keep saying Acts chapter 12, go back to Acts chapter 12. This is the last, as we record the actions, other than that chapter 15 where they meet together in Jerusalem to verify Paul's ministry. Acts 12 is the last mention of the outgoing and working of the 12 apostles. And in Acts chapter 13, the Holy Spirit launches Paul on his ministry. And so there's that division in the book of Acts really clearly seen. But what's interesting, as Acts chapter 12 comes to a conclusion with the ministry, the record of Peter's ministry, it's not the end of his ministry, it's the end of the record of the book of Acts of Peter's ministry. It says in Acts chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand and vexed certain of the church and killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." And that is the apostle James. So all of a sudden there's no more 12 apostles. They're back down to 11. "And because he saw it pleased the Jews," and the Jews aren't protecting their own apostles, "he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread." So because of that, he doesn't execute Peter immediately. Otherwise, Peter would have been killed that day. But God has another purpose for Peter yet. And so Peter is thrown in prison and then miraculously released from prison. And down in verse 18, it says, "Now as soon as it was day, there rose no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter." And then they go out seeking him, but Peter is gone. God had let him out of the city, and he's escaped. The reason I read those verses, the last action in the book of Acts of Peter, other than confirming Paul's ministry, is where he was confined in prison for a short time and released because God apparently has another purpose for Peter. Paul's ministry in the book of Acts, chapter 28, matches that. Paul's confined in prison for a short time, just in a house arrest. Later on, he'll go into a dungeon, have a short release, and eventually be executed. But that's beyond the book of Acts. Peter's ministry ends with a jail ministry. Paul's ministry ends with a jail ministry. That Acts 12 and 13, there's a division in the book of Acts there that's really an important division to catch. The ministry that Peter still has is twofold. God needed him in Acts chapter 15 to confirm that Paul's ministry is what God's accomplishing now, not the ministry of the 12 with the nation of Israel. Paul out among the Gentiles, Peter needed to be part of that conference and to put that confirmation on Paul's ministry. The second thing that God still has, notice John is also left. John and Peter, they still got books to write. They're going to write the epistles to the Hebrews, but after the book of Hebrews, it's James, and it's not this James. It's James, the Lord's brother, that writes that James. But then there's Peter and John, who's also the writer of Revelation. They had some things to write concerning the last days when God again deals with the nation of Israel. So that's why he's not killed here. He's not off the scene, but God's attention for us is now shifted to Paul, something different. And that's why in our chart we're always showing how there's this ministry to the nation of Israel that gets interrupted by God's ministry to us Gentiles through the ministry of the Apostle Paul that he calls the dispensation of the grace of God.
Pastor, did you say Saul, the name Saul, was 26 times?
I believe that's the number I come up with, yes. Yeah, so it's 126, that's Paul, and 26 times he's called Saul. Now there's two verses where it's Saul, Saul. But there's also one reference, so it might be actually 25, and it depends if I doubled those ones, because there's one reference to Saul, the king of the Old Testament, that you got to make sure you exclude.
I think you touched on this, but I'm hoping you'll confirm my understanding of what I believe to be true. While there's a real obvious handoff, so to speak, of the ministries between Peter and Paul, isn't it true that because not every believing remnant individual died at exactly the same time that Christ died on the cross, there is still a continuation of that ministry until that last individual died however many years later?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, and see, all that will go through as we study the book of Acts. You'll see a couple different groups. There's not just Peter and the 12, but there are some people that did believe their message. And that's really the ones when it says Saul made havoc of the church, the assembly. That's the people he's trying to destroy, is those who are believing the apostles' message. So there is a group that followed the apostles, and even after Paul's ministry, they're around. And your Bible is real careful to separate those ministries. But it's important just in the introduction when we realize that this is the continued ministry of Jesus Christ. His ministry isn't over. He's back in heaven, but he's going to minister through the Holy Spirit by giving commandments to the apostles. And those apostles confirm that God has changed their ministry with them to a ministry of Paul to the Gentiles. And that's just that's really introductory information to the book of Acts. Now, that's really probably profound to a whole bunch of people who think that the beginning of the book of Acts is a new beginning when there is something new that takes place there, but it's not a new beginning as far as a new program that God's introducing. It's a fulfillment of a prophetic program, but we'll see all that as we go along. I am going to end here, but I do want to say what we were going into next, which I thought we were going to cover in more detail than we're... And that is this idea of seeing the two ministries of apostles and seeing that they're separate ministries, but there are two ministries. That information is not only important to the study of the book of Acts, it's extremely important to the understanding of who the author of the book of Acts is. Luke is a very unique individual. My dad always, when he prays, you'll always hear him say, "Use us each in our own personality." And I know he's learned to pray that because he's understood from even the writers of the Bible, that's how God works. God uses people in their personality, but sanctified by his Holy Spirit for his work. And Luke is unique to every other gospel writer of the New Testament in the kind of person that he is, the interest that he has, even his social status in the world, to be qualified to write the book of Acts and to see both halves of the ministry of the 12 apostles and how that has an effect on the whole world, even Gentiles, because the unique part about it, Luke is going to be, we'll see next week, is a Gentile. But he can see and be a part of the 12 apostles' ministry because eventually that's going to affect the world. When Jesus Christ comes back, he reigns over this whole earth. And Luke can rejoice in that and did rejoice at that from the very beginning. But at the same time, when God interrupted his program with the nation of Israel, Luke is quick to jump in with the Apostle Paul and minister with the Apostle Paul because there's a ministry to Gentiles that Luke cares an awful lot about. An opportunity for Gentiles to be saved before the wrath comes and before Jesus Christ returns and establishes his kingdom. So God particularly chose Luke because of he's uniquely chosen of God because of who he is to be the author of the book of Acts. And how do I know that Luke wrote the book of Acts? Come back next time. That's where we'll start. You know, if there are a lot of questions in Acts and I detect that, or if I don't detect it, do by a quarter after, maybe 10 after, start putting your hand up in the air. And we'll find a place to stop because it would be good to answer questions as we go because you'll never remember to ask them later. And questions are good. Give me time to get some things taught and then I'll give you some times to ask questions. Oh, there is one.
I got two. So then there's 14 apostles, Barnabas and Paul and the 12. That's it?
No. Keep... There's 12 apostles to the nation of Israel. There's Paul and his companions. Later, when Paul writes Timothy, he refers to Timothy as an apostle. He refers to Titus as an apostle. There's one verse where I think it's in the book of Acts, it's Silas who travels with them. Even though he's part of the group sent with the 12, sent from the 12, as he goes with Paul, he seems to have authority that I think there's a place where he's given a title of apostle.
Many apostles, more than just Paul.
Yeah, when you read 1 Corinthians, God gave to the church, the body of Christ, apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors, teachers, as he says in Ephesians.
The question is, when was Luke written? Was it written after Acts 20?
I think I can show you when I identify him as the writer. Okay. Yeah, let's just hold that one. Linda?
I was wondering what the purpose of chapter 8 is. Why didn't they have this funny chapter in the middle? It
Well, you'll have to wait till we get there. Yeah, that's a little bit too far ahead, because that is an important chapter. But rather than answer it right now, let's just progress there. Yeah, I got an answer. Yeah. Well, let's pray. Our God and our Father, I thank you for the interest of the saints here. And we thank you, Father, that the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ did continue after his earthly ministry, and that it was confirmed not only by the apostles' word, but by their actions, by the miracles that they did, to show that Jesus Christ, in his resurrection through his Holy Spirit, had more things to teach and to say. And then they all verify the fact that there's a special age in which we live today, where your grace is being manifested to this world, and the message of that grace is found in the Apostle to the Gentiles' writings, the Apostle Paul, in his books of Romans to Philemon. Father, I don't know if that's, we said it, but I don't know if it's clear in everyone's mind. I pray that this week we'll read through the book of Acts and see if that isn't a proper division of your book, and then a proper revelation for us to take note of. And we pray that as we continue to meet together, that your word will just unfold in our presence, and that your Son would be glorified in our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Pastor, I was just saying.